Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
He is risen. Amen.
Amen.
There you go. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Wake y'all up this morning. God is so good and God is so faithful. And I think about the scripture in the Bible where it tells when we offer up a sacrifice of praise, it's like a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Have you ever walked into a room where someone's cooking something so good, it just fills your nose, you're just like, you could just stay there. I just imagine that's what God is experiencing this morning. When he looks down and he hears the praise of his people at Fork Union Baptist this morning going, man, I love that. Because that's what we're created to do, is to worship the Lord. Amen? This morning, if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to get into the Word. I've got a flight to catch, so we're not going to keep it any shorter than normal. Just wanted to throw that out there, just so you know. So you don't get your hopes up. We're going to be in John chapter 20. We're going to be talking, of course, about the resurrection this morning. John chapter 20, we're going to be in the first 10 verses, if you want to find that. Sometimes I'm guilty of not titling my messages or giving them like a title. But this morning, I just kept thinking about the sunrise service and all the things that we do on Eastern. And so this title, if you will, for today is called A New Day. A new day. And so that's what we're going to be talking about. My favorite part of the time of day is when I wake up in the morning is to go outside and to just enjoy the crisp early morning. I love to sit out there and just drink my coffee. The guys that I work with, they know not to expect me at work on time ever, because I've got to get my Bible time in and my little coffee time, and I got to sit there and take it all in first in the morning. They make fun of me because they know I'm always going to be a little bit later than everybody else. Maybe it's because everything is so still in the mornings. Not everything's called crazy yet. Just like we experienced this morning at the sunrise service. The sky is so pretty. Maybe I like the early morning because of the smell and the flowers and the cool fresh air. Maybe the dew that's on everything. Maybe it's the birds singing or the sun coming up over the horizon. I love the early mornings of a new day. I love the dawning of a new day. But what really encourages me is that each day that the sun comes up, it's a dawning of a new day, isn't it? It's another gift from the Lord that we should rejoice and be glad in. I love what it says in Lamentations 3:23. It says, great is his faithfulness, his mercies begin afresh each morning. I don't know about you, but I need God's mercies to be afresh in my life each morning. Am I the only one in here today? No matter what I had to do yesterday, it's a new day. No matter what happened to me yesterday, no matter what bad decision I made, when the morning of a new day comes, yesterday is gone, and I have a new day to start all over. It's like a brand new start in life each morning. It's a new day. So I want to tell you this morning, I don't know what you're going through today, but I want you to tell you it's a new day. God wants to put your past behind you. Let me stick to my notes because we're going to get off. We'll be here for 2 hours. God wants to put the past behind. That's why Jesus died on the cross. He didn't do all that so we could go on living in shame and living in sin and all the things that we deal with. He wants to set us free because he loves us. Today I want to tell you how you can enjoy and you can experience personally this new day experience in Jesus Christ. I want to share to you how he wants to put your past and he wants to bury it in that tomb and give you a new life. So today, as we celebrate Easter, as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have to remember the crucifixion as well. It's easy to celebrate this morning the resurrection. It's easy to be full of joy this morning as we read that Jesus is alive. But to truly appreciate the resurrection this morning, listen to me, to truly appreciate what we have in Christ, we have to first remember what happened to him on the cross, what he went through. Have we stopped this week? Have we stopped this morning to think about the suffering that Jesus went through for us? For my sin and for your sin. See, we have to stop and we have to think about the pain that Jesus experienced. That he allowed himself to experience. As the nails were driven through his hands and his feet into a hard piece of wood. Can you imagine the feeling of a cold, rusty, old nail pressed against your hand, knowing that in a matter of seconds someone was raising the hammer to drive it through? Can you imagine that feeling this morning? When you see the hammer rise into the air, can you imagine the pain that would follow after each strike of the hammer? driving it through the skin into your tendons and muscles and nerves, breaking bones, scratching past your bones. You see, before we can really celebrate the resurrection this morning, we have to realize what Jesus went through in his death, what he endured for us. See, when I read the Gospels and I read through all the Gospel events of the arrest and the crucifixion of Jesus, I find myself, the side of me that is a police officer, wants to go kick in the door and save him. I think about that sometimes. I get this like righteous anger and I'm just like, man, especially when the Roman guard in John chapter 18, when he slaps Jesus across the face and they're mocking him, I want to go. I wish I could be there. I wish I could be there and rescue him. I find myself getting angry at the way they treated my Savior. But then I see how Jesus handles himself. Just like we talked about last week with the great the triumph entry. I remember how he knew all these things were going to happen to him. He didn't have to do it, but he allowed himself to endure it. But he still did what the Father sent him to do. I want y'all to understand this morning, in case you don't know, Jesus doesn't need me to rescue him. So I'm not saying that one bit. I've been rescued by him. But see, in my human mind, this is the way I think about it. In fact, if I'm really honest, if I would have been there the day that he was arrested as one of his followers, I probably would have been the first one to deny him. That's a hard reality to admit this morning, but it's true. You see, Jesus was no ordinary man. He was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. He healed the sick. He made the lame walk. He walked on water. Jesus spoke, and Lazarus was raised from the dead. This is the Jesus that I serve. Jesus did all these miracles, and he's told his disciples exactly what was going to happen, and yet even his closest followers could not and did not grasp what was going to happen and what happened. They couldn't see past the immediate threat. They couldn't see. They were blinded by their own fear of the crucifixion, all the things that they had just seen happen to Jesus. They were weakened by their lack of faith. They couldn't grasp what was going to happen, even after Jesus told them it was going to happen. So as we read this scripture this morning, I know that was a long introduction, but I want us to really open our hearts, and I want us to receive what the Word of God says this morning. So let's read John 20, 1 through 10. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put it." Peter and the other disciples started out to the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciples who had reached the tomb first also went in. And he saw and believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. And then they went home. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh Lord, Father, sometimes, Lord, we get so distracted by the world. Lord, we get so set back in our faith, God, because of our doubt and our fear. Lord, we know the enemy is always prowling around like a roaring lion, just waiting to devour us. And God, he loves to make us doubt. He loves to make us doubt our faith. He loves to make us think that we're not worthy enough for God to love us. But Lord, your word tells us differently. And that's what we're going to stand on this morning. Lord, we're going to stand on the truth. And we're going to stand on the promises of Jesus Christ. We're going to stand on the promises that we serve a God who loves us, who created us not only perfect, but he created us in his own image. And Lord, he loves us enough that we know that you love us enough that you don't want to leave us in this place of being trapped by sin. God, only that kind of love can come from a perfect heavenly Father. Lord, I just pray again, Lord, for somebody here that doesn't know it today, if nobody's ever experienced a new day in Jesus Christ, God, that today would be the day. Lord, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we go any further, I want us to search ourselves this morning. Do we really believe the words that we just read? Doesn't matter how many times you've heard them. Do you really believe what we just read this morning? I love what Luke records when in this event. He says, Jesus says this, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe what the prophets wrote in Scripture." He's talking to me on that one. "You foolish people. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?" See, this morning we need to be reminded of what the Scripture says. This morning we need to remember all of what Jesus says to us. This morning we need to believe that Jesus overcame death and he walked out of that tomb. We have to believe it. We have to come to that place of believing that. We have to believe that before God made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. That's what we learned in Ephesians 1:4 when we were studying through Ephesians. So before the creation of the world, before all those things, God already knew. He already had a plan to rescue us. Some people try to distort that and say, well, that just means that he chose certain people. No, 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 no. Read John 3:16, and we're going to get to that in a little while. You see, each person has to get to the point in their faith that they believe. Not that the congregation believes, not that most of the people. I, myself, have to come to the place in my life that I believe. I can't believe for you. You can't believe for me. My spouse can't believe for me. My parents can't believe for me. Let me try to explain it like this. I think if you would have asked Mary Magdalene that morning if she believed in Jesus, she would have said, yes, of course I do. She would have said, yes, of course I do. But yet, what did she do? She went to the tomb on the third day looking for his earthly body, weeping in sadness over the death of Jesus. You see, the glorious truth of the resurrection wasn't completely understood, even by his closest followers. Their simple human minds, I can relate to that. I always say, like, hey, I can help you. I've got a weak mind but a strong back. You know what I mean? Like, that's me. So I'm not preaching to you this morning. Their simple human minds could not comprehend what had happened. They heard Jesus teach what the prophets wrote in Scripture. He promised them what was going to happen. They heard what Jesus told them what was going to happen. They even witnessed Jesus perform miracles, raise people from the dead, all these things. They saw all of it firsthand, and yet they still found it hard to believe that he had walked out of that tomb. They just assumed somebody stole his body. But see, we need to understand this morning is once the glorious truth of the resurrection became a reality to them, once they figured it out, everything in their life changed. Are you hearing me this morning? The moment that the resurrection of Jesus Christ becomes a reality in your life, everything should change. At that moment, the resurrection became a reality. It changed their life. For Mary, it meant moving from tears of sadness to tears of joy, didn't it? For the disciples, it meant going from fear to courage. Look at Thomas. He went from doubting to having perfect assurance. Even the Roman soldiers went from unbelief to belief. See, that's the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus Christ does in our life. It changes everything. It takes us from being dead in our sin to alive in Christ. It takes us from sadness and shame into a place of joy and happiness. It takes our doubt and turns it into assurance. But again, I must come to that place in my life personally that I choose to believe. You have to come to that place in your life you believe. The preacher can't do it for you. The Pope himself cannot do it for you. Do you believe the Scripture this morning? John 3:16. Probably all, if any of you ever stepped foot in a children's church program or grown up in a church or spent any time on Facebook with any Christian friends, you've probably heard this verse. "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. So my question to you this morning is again, and I'm going to keep on beating this horse, do you believe? That's what he said. Everyone that believes in him will not perish. He didn't say everybody that comes to church every now and then, everybody that tries to follow the rules, everybody that, you know, makes things look good in their life. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say all the perfect people. It said anyone, everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. So my question to you this morning, do you believe, is the hardest part of our faith. That's the hardest part of our faith as Christians. Before I began to strive to follow the Lord in my life, I ran from the Lord for the first 30 years of my life. I knew he had a plan for my life, but I just thought, I said, oh, it's going to be dreadful to have to obey God. I thought giving up my plans, giving up my worldly desires and the sins that I enjoyed to follow God would lead me to a life that was so restrictive that I would have no fun. A life, a boring life full of a bunch of no's, and you can't do that. You can't do that. That's what I thought. Oh, but how I was mistaken. Oh, but how the devil had me confused. See, once I believed, God gave me his Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, he turns all those things around. I wanted to serve God. I love to come up here and preach the word. I love to be a fool for Jesus. And I'm really good at that, by the way. Once I believed, the things that I used to want in my personal life, the things that I've really, really wanted, that I desired, my sinful nature, a lot of those things lost their appeal. Once I believed, God began to show me that how his plan for my life was the perfect plan. All what I would have missed out on, not getting to know each one of you here today. All what I would have missed out on, and not going on these exciting mission trips all over the world for the Lord. He gets all the glory for it, but guess what? If I hadn't believed myself, I could have never done it. I could have never done any of those things. This doesn't mean that I have it all figured out. I'm not telling you that this morning. I am not bragging on myself. God is all the glory for anything good in my life. I still doubt. I still fall short every week. In fact, before I came up here to preach, I had to ask God for forgiveness for things that I've done this week. Before I can get up and stand before you and preach. We're all human. But I believe that Jesus died on the cross as a perfect sacrifice for my sins. I believe that because of his sacrifice, everyone has the opportunity to be forgiven of their sins. Everybody has the opportunity to have eternal life. But I also believe that God isn't going to make me believe. He's not going to make you believe this morning. He's not going to hit you over the head and drag you up here like most kings would do and say, you're going to honor me and you're going to praise me. He isn't going to make you surrender this morning. God wants you to come at the point in your own heart that you say, I believe. I'm a sinner and I need to be forgiven. So I want to close with reading John chapter 20 again. And we're just going to read the last couple verses, verse 6 through 10. And I want you to listen to what he says here. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed that the linen wrappings were lying there, while the cloth that covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. He saw and believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. Then they went home. I love this picture of the linens just lying there in the grave. I love it. And I don't know that I've ever really, growing up in the church and knowing all the things that, and hearing the scriptures and knowing while we celebrate Easter, I don't know that I've ever really thought about it this way. But as I was preparing this and I was studying over this week and thinking about it, I thought about it like this. You think about the one thing that kept his broken body covered in the grave. Was left in the grave when he was risen. He didn't need those old grave clothes, just like we talked about in Ephesians. He didn't need all that. He was a new person. He left the old stained up bloody rags from his old beaten body. All the shame of the cross, all the shame of my sin and your sin, when his blood poured out onto those rags and those linen wrappings, he left them in the grave because that's where they belong. Do you believe this morning? What does the power of the resurrection need to change in your life this morning? Do you believe the glorious truth that Jesus died for your sins, that he overcame the grave so you could be set free from the penalty of your sins? What is it in your life? What is it in your heart that needs to be wrapped up with those linens and just staying in the tomb this morning? Let's celebrate Easter this morning, but let's celebrate Easter with more than just a new tie and a new dress. Let's celebrate the resurrection of a Savior who came and gave his life. Let's celebrate the resurrection by truly believing in that glorious truth this morning. Let's allow the power of the resurrection, the power of Jesus, to change our life, to change our perspective in life, just like we were talking about with the kids. Let's remember that God is alive. Jesus is alive. And he is seated on the throne, the right hand of God, with all authority over heaven and earth. That's what my Bible tells me. And I've never found anything in the Bible that told me something that hadn't come true or that isn't going to come true. And Jesus came and he confirmed all those things, that all the things the prophets wrote are going to happen. And some of them did happen with him. Let's celebrate this morning with Easter by leaving our doubt, our sin, our sadness, our unforgiveness, our fears, our shame. Leave them in the tomb this morning where they belong. If we're truly going to celebrate Easter, that's what we should do. Come this morning and begin a new day in Jesus Christ. Maybe you came this morning, I don't know, and you're like those disciples and you said, well, you know what? I'm going to go to church because it's the right thing to do on Easter. I don't know. I don't know what you're going through this morning. Before you go home, before we start the Easter egg hunt, before we get into all the things, the busyness, and all the probably great food that's at home cooking or sitting on the counter, do you believe this morning? Don't leave this place. I love what it says. The disciples, it says, Jesus, they finally believed, and then it says, then they went home. So many times we sit in church, we say, goodness, when is the preacher going to wrap this up? I'm ready to get out of here. My bass boat's already hooked up. You know, I'm ready to hit the golf course. I got a game on TV. We're going to miss some of it. But before we leave this place today, do you believe? Do you truly believe? I'd pray this morning that if you've never made that profession in front of God's people, if you've never stood up and said, I believe this morning, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus Christ, I pray today will be the day that you come and that you'll always remember Easter 2019, because it's a start of your new life in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and you want to join the church. Maybe you're here this morning and you just need prayer. I don't know what's going on in your life, but God knows. I'd be happy to pray with you. Whatever God is calling you to this morning, I just pray that you'll come as we sing. Hymn number 178. Let's stand and sing.